right, take your Bible this morning, if you would, and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we've got a lot on my mind and a lot to say and a lot going on today, but I'm glad to be a part of it. And I was here probably a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago, and you guys were just getting ready to build a building over there and getting ready to do some things. And I knew when I was here that time that you were involved in ministering. You're ministers. You're doing things. There's buses sitting out there. Somebody was working on the bus yesterday, getting it ready for today, obviously. Other people are scooting around doing things. It's just been like a beehive of activity and working. And when I looked at that, I thought, you know, they're ministering. Now, I don't always see that when I get to come in. I come in, everybody's kind of, nobody's there till 10 after, and you're like looking around, hello, what's going on? What are we doing? And the answer to that is nothing. And that's kind of sad. And then they want me to open my briefcase and get out revival and, you know, shake it out and let's go. And I come back the next year, they're doing the same old thing. Amen. So I'm encouraged this morning. You folks are ministering. And I'm not just saying that. You're doing something. So what I want to talk about is ministering, being faithful in ministry. You say, well, why would you bring that to us? Take it to those people. Let me tell you something. People that are doing things oftentimes need to hear it maybe quicker and before the people that aren't doing anything. Because the people that aren't doing anything, you're never going to get them to do anything anyway. Believe me, I've been there. But the people that are doing things, those are the ones that may get discouraged along the way, may feel like fainting along the way, may stumble along the way, and they need to be encouraged that they might do greater things because they're already doing something, and you know there's hope there, so they're going to go on. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Now, that's my text. And I'll bring the lesson. It's going to be a mix. You're going to get a mix. I'm going to get a little teaching, some verses, and a little preaching. Amen. I mean, you know, I'm an evangelist. Come on. So he says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, the therefore is to all the things that happened before. And if you happen to have a Scofield Bible, King James, of course. In chapter 3, the ministry is accredited there in chapter 3, and back up to chapter 2, the ministry and the triumph of it. He's talking about ministering and ministry, and I'm only going to say three things this morning, but I need to lay the foundation to say those three things, and I think they'll help you. So with that thought in mind, let's just have a quick word of prayer, ask God's blessing on his word this morning as we open it. Father, thank you for a chance to serve you. Thank you for a chance to minister. Thank you for this church that wants to minister. It's obvious. But Lord, now bless your word and help us, Lord, to receive from your word that we might minister better and more pleasing to thee and bring thee glory and honor, and that many souls may be won unto thee. Bless now as we preach and teach. It's in Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen. So when I think about this, we need to be faithful in ministry. And the person that is faithful needs to hear these things, because somewhere he's going to feel like, well, what's the use? I just can't go any further. And to lay the foundation, Paul said in Acts chapter 6 and verse 4, this verse, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word of God. I mean, there's ministry there, prayer and the word of God. And that's the basis and the start. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3. We're right there close. He says there that the ministry be not blamed. What, did I give you 6:3? 2 Corinthians 6:3, that's the one I wanted. That the ministry be not blamed. A lot of times people say, well, if it hadn't been for that up there, we wouldn't have done this. Listen, you can't blame the ministry for God. You got the ministry right. And Paul, everything Paul taught and stood for was that the ministry might not be blamed. And you sure couldn't blame anything he did on ill or on bad, or they didn't cause any problems. Now, they may have turned the world upside down, but it was for the Lord Jesus Christ. So he said that the ministry be not blamed. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12, he said, he gives the, and we can back up and get a little more foundation, but I don't think we need it. You'll know the verse. He says over there that the pastors and teachers and evangelists for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. And I'm glad to be a part of that ministry. I'm glad that God has given me ministry. You've got a ministry. They're all different. I don't care if you're cleaning a commode in the basement of the church, or you're driving a bus and taking a load of kids or a team of somebody off somewhere to do something for the glory of God. It's ministry. and I'm glad to have a part in the ministry, and I'm an evangelist, and that's what God called. Pastor's a pastor, that's what God called. You're a teacher. You say, well, I'm just in the church. You have a ministry. Everybody here has a ministry. You say, well, I'm just kind of looking for something to do. There's plenty to do. Look around. I mean, you may be a greeter. You may be an usher. You may be, there's any of 100 things, maybe 200 things that you could call your ministry. And none of them are less than the other. Amen. I understand the offices and that sort of thing and where respect is due. I understand that. But listen, to minister is what we're left here to do. It's the ultimate business of God, his souls, and we're to minister to do that. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, make full proof of thy ministry. I know he told young Timothy that. He's a young preacher, but I believe that verse speaks to anybody that opens that Bible and looks at it. If you're saved by the grace of God, make full proof of your ministry. So we need to be faithful in ministry. Let me just, to lay the foundation, the person of ministry, very important that we see this, is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, if you back up, if we're to use it as a lesson, Paul, an apostle of who? Jesus Christ. He wasn't an apostle of Allah, Muhammad, any of that other mess. He's an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And Timothy, our brother, under the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. So the person of the ministry is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when the ministry is about you, you have a failing ministry. It's not about you. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. The ministry that God has given to me is not about me. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not here to make me look good. That's an impossibility anyhow. I'm here to make him look good. He looks good, and all I'm supposed to do is talk about him. Amen. Amen. It's about him. So the person of the ministry is important. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Now, we're not talking about people here. We're talking about the person of the ministry, which is Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. They were preaching Christ, amen? The Lord Jesus Christ. Say, what are you doing, Brother Phil? Propagating yourself, singing these songs, drawing pictures, running all across? No, I'm going out there propagating the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, why? Because he's the person of the ministry. Now, we should not fail him. If he, all the preeminence goes to him, all the glory goes to him, don't fail him. The thought of the lesson this morning is to be faithful in ministry, so we shouldn't fail. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, just kind of comes to my thought. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. It does happen. It can happen. So you don't want to fail the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the person. You may fail yourself, but don't fail him. Amen. Now, I want to lay a pretty good foundation to say these three things. Number two, there's people of the ministry. You're people. You're the people of the ministry. I'm the people of the ministry. And it involves people. Amen. He's the person, but it takes people. You can't minister to cattle. Amen. Dogs and cats. Some people may think you can, but you're never gonna lead them to the Lord. Amen. It's just not gonna work. You can't minister to creation. I mean, there's plenty of tree huggers out there, huh? But it's not about the EPA. It's about people with souls and blood running through their veins. And they're lost. And they need to be saved. And it's about people. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, grace. Watch what he says. Be to you. You say, why did he say that? Because we're the people of ministry. He wasn't giving grace to anything else, to the animal kingdom, to the plant kingdom, or anything like that, to the seas, to the heavens. He said, may grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, why? Well, so we don't fall. We're the people. You know, you don't want to fail him. You don't want to fall. Peter said this, and Peter knew about this. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, he said this. He says, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For you do these things, you shall never fall. It's about ministering, amen? You don't want to fail, you don't want to fall. And we're the people, and we're people, and we begat people for the Lord, and so it's about people. Let me say this, you can't do it in your own power. Amen. Now, you say, well, Brother Phil, you can sing, you can chalk, no, what else can you do? I can dance, amen? But I'm not going to do that, amen? I'm just kidding. Just seeing if you're alive this morning. I don't have any power. I don't have any. I'm just Phil, Brother Phil. That's it. You know where the power comes from? It comes from the Holy Ghost of God. And the people that don't recognize that will fail in whatever ministry they're involved in. You don't have the power. You better get your power from God. When you meet in the prayer rooms to pray, why? You need God. You need the Holy Ghost of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament? That's what we want. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. We're talking spirit power, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And that acknowledgement is the Holy Ghost of God. And so the person is Christ. The people are you, I, and anybody else involved that we might minister to. Amen. And then the power must come through the Holy Ghost of God and this precious old book. That's where it comes from. You say, why? So you don't fear. I'd be scared to death if I had to stand up here in my own power. Amen. And there'd be some people that are doing well to fear because they are standing in their own power. It'll all fall apart. But listen, we're not to fear if we have the power of the Holy Ghost. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me. You know, when you know God is energizing you, giving you the power to do it, you can put up with a lot of infirmities. Amen. The older you get, the more you'll know that. And you say, why? Because it's the power of the Holy Ghost of God. That's why. He indwells us. He seals us. And you know the lessons that go on and on. But here, the power. And I just want to, two or three more things here. And I'll give you those 3 points. We'll be done. There's, you know, in ministry, you just got to stay with it. You got to persevere. I mean, you're already saved, and you don't have to work to get that. But once you get saved, you begin to do something. You know, you just got to stay with it. I mean, you can't stop today and start tomorrow. And I thank God that Bonnie and I, we were saved. We were young, and we've been serving God all of our life. We raised our children to serve God, and now they're serving God, and now they're raising their children to serve God. You say, how'd you do that? I didn't do it. It was in the power of the Holy Ghost of God, and we just stayed with it. I mean, when we didn't think it was going to work, we stayed with it. But in 2 Corinthians 4:1, Paul said this, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. You say, why should I persevere? So that you don't faint. Amen. I mean, if it wasn't a possibility for saved people to get to doing something in a faint, he'd have never said that. Amen. I mean, what God doesn't say or directly imply is sometimes indirectly applied, and you don't have to be a rocket scientist or have a PhD or a THD to get it. You can faint if you don't stay with it. Sometimes you're going to get up and you're not going to feel like coming to church. You know what? Come anyway. Amen. I mean, say, well, you may be tired. There's such a thing. I've gone so tired I couldn't stand behind the pulpit. But when I left, I was energized. I don't know where it come from. Something happened. You say, well, it was adrenaline. I don't know what it was, but I'm glad I went. Amen. You say, what? Just persevere. Keep on going. Keep going. I think what Luke said there and in 18:1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. We're admonished a number of times not to faint. And if you just keep going, you won't faint. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We just read it in verse 1. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. There's something going on for the new man in Christ Jesus, for the person that's saved. If you just keep going, I mean, it looks like he's energized. Galatians 6, Paul says it again. Verse 9, he says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying persevere. You got things going on around here? Keep doing it. Say, well, I don't think we'll ever see the end of this thing. You may not. But listen, keep on going on. Persevere till the Lord comes. Amen? Or you die one. It'll both of them get the job done. But there's no excuse for the child of God to quit on God. Amen? I mean, you may get sick. You may get lame. You may even be lazy. We used to call them the sick, lame, and lazy. Just keep going for God. Amen? Persevere. Let me say this. There's pressure. I know this. Huh? Look at these gray hairs. Pressure comes with the ministry. You may have something that you're doing to be a little pressure involved. Paul knew about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You're right there. There's a couple places. Let me lay them down as a foundation so I can give you the 3 points. He says the pressure of the ministry. He says there, verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. You say that sounds like a paradox. How can you be so down and yet not be out? That's a Christian. That's the Holy Ghost of God. There's something connected with teaching and preaching that energizes the soul. You may drag the flesh in and it doesn't feel like being there, and it may be sick, lame, and lazy, but the spirit, which wars against the flesh, it says, I want to be there. And then God does something supernatural through the preaching and through the teaching and just being around the fellowship that energizes you. I think it's just the spirit saying no to the flesh. Amen. And so say, what's going on? Pressure. There is pressure expected in the ministry. You're ministering, you're building, you're running the buses, you're doing visitation, you're doing school, you got Sunday school. Look at all these kids. You think this don't happen without pressure? There's pressure. You say, well, preacher, what are you trying to say? I said, when the pressure comes, don't fret. It's supposed to. Amen. I rolled up out here, and I'm not complaining. I don't want you to read this wrong. I pushed my button for the slide to roll out of my motorhome, and gears just turned in there. Went about that far out and stopped. We both looked at each other. Beads of sweat popped out on my head. And I says, man, look at this. It's stuck. I can't go home. It won't go out. It won't come in. What if the thing weighs 4,000 pounds? What am I going to do? And all of a sudden, God said, settle down. It's just a little pressure. And I thought, yeah, I can fix anything. So what? If I got a manual on it and somebody put it together, I'll get it fixed. And the brother come over and we're looking at it. And we was talking. It's probably a shear pin and something. Some probably real simple fix. But I refused to worry about it. I said, it's just a little pressure. It's okay. We took a big crescent wrench and got on something, and he cranked that thing, and it rolled right back in. We don't need it open. It's fine. You say, what is that pressure? Now, you've had some too. Say, what do you do? Don't fret about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. I don't know what your situation is, but he says this. There have no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Oh, yes, he is. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that he may be able to bear it. Look, pressure comes. I just use a crude illustration. It could be in any form. He talks about perplexities. He talks about troubles. He talks about persecutions. Those are the kind of pressures that may come along. Now, you say, what are you saying? I'm saying, don't fret about it. They come with the territory. You're just a stranger. You're just passing through. You're here to do a ministry. Amen. And you're going to get some opposition. You're going to draw a little fire. So keep your head down, your steel pot on. We're just here for a while. That's what I'm saying. Be faithful in ministry. That's what I'm saying. So the pressure's going to be there. And then I call this persuasion of the ministry, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. You know, everybody needs a little kick in the pants once in a while, needs a little persuasion once in a while. And Paul's pretty good about persuading the brethren to, you know, carry on. And you look there what he has to say. He says in verse 10, chapter 5 of the second book of Corinthians, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. Say, what's he saying? He's saying, you better keep going, because you're going to stand before the Lord one of these days and give an account for what you're doing down here for God. That's what he said. Say, boy, that sounds rough. No, that's a little gentle persuasion. Amen. Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, that ought to persuade you. Persuade me. Somebody says, why do you run all over the place doing what you do? I'm scared not to. Amen. A little fear in me. Would do us all well to have a little good old-fashioned Holy Ghost fear. Amen. I mean, look, he done so much for me. Sung a song on the prodigal son. Talked about how Jesus could calm the sea in the next song. Listen, God's able for any situation we're in. And knowing that one day I'll have to stand before him, there is a little fear there. So, and it's for everyone. I said I want to say three or four things. I saved myself just enough time to say three things. I want to say this. I laid that foundation down so you could see it. We're not to faint, fail, and all the other things I said. And we know who the person is, the people are, and so on and so forth. Very simple. Anybody could have wrote that down and put that together. And they could have got this too. But when I read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, let me say this. We live on this earth. We have a beacon in a dark place, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. I found a man over there in John, Matthew, Mark, and Luke by the name of John the Baptist. You know, I thought about that man, and John had a ministry. And John was in a dark place. Amen. And old John, he was not that light, was to bear witness of that light. And the light was the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say again this morning, we have a beacon in a dark place. Huh? I mean, listen, the Lord Jesus Christ is our beacon in a dark place. Now, it's beautiful in here and the lights are all working well, but I'm telling you, we're living on planet Earth. It's a dark place in whom the God of this world, that's the devil, and he's talking about this planet right here. He's not talking about Pluto. He's not talking about Jupiter. He's talking about planet Earth, amen? And you happen to be a resident of planet Earth for a while, and I'm simply saying there's a light, there's a beacon in a dark place, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. If I didn't say anything else, I'm going to say that. And John the Baptist bore witness to that light, and he had a ministry. And let me tell you this. Everything I said this morning in my introduction would fit what John the Baptist went through. He finally lost his head for ministering. Amen. You know what? I think I see him over there, but he won't be headless over there. No, he'll have his head. Amen. And I want to say, secondly, we have a burden to bear in our body. And as you get a little older, you understand what I'm talking about. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10. Not only do we have a beacon in a dark place, we have a burden to bear in our body. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10, he says this, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Let me tell you something about this body. It's wearing out. Amen. You can wash it, comb it, brush it, whatever you got to do to dress it all up, fix it all up. You know what? It's still falling apart. You say, why? Because of sin. But thank God for him. Amen. Yes, sir. You're going to bear it in this body. It just comes with the territory. And that means more to me probably today than it ever has before. When I was 25 years old, I didn't think I was ever going to die. You know, one of them kind of things. I could run and jump, sweat, and just do whatever. But, you know, I'm finding out I can't jump as high as I used to. And I can't preach as long as I used to. You know what I'm saying. You just can't do the things you used to do. You say, why? Because of the body. And you get to realize it, and that you're always bearing about the marks of the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ in your body. I think Paul had it when he said, I'm in Galatians chapter 2, verse 22, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. Listen, he reckoned this whole thing dead anyway. I mean, it's dying, amen. But you know what? Acknowledge that and keep on going for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you get lame, if something happens, keep on going for Christ. You may not get done as much as you used to, but with the power of the Holy Ghost of God, it's untelling what you might accomplish in your feebleness, bearing about in your body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your very death may have an impact on somebody and win somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say thirdly, verse 18, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We are to behold things eternal. We are to behold things eternal. When I look at verse 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Oh, my brother and my sister, be faithful in the ministry, not because of what we see down here, because of what we don't see over there. When he said, set your affection on things above and not on things of this earth. Listen, I think he was talking to every born-again, blood-bought Christian. And you know, we don't only have a beacon in a dark place, thank God. We're not only going to bear some marks of his dying in our body. But brother, we can be beholding eternal things. I'm glad to report on you today. I'm happy and I'm excited because I'm headed to a far better country. I'm just passing through. I may never see you again. I'm getting a little long in the tooth. But if the Lord comes back, that'll do the same thing. Amen. Do you know what? I'm looking for him to split the eastern sky. And I'm going to work, we say, till Jesus comes. Amen. I've been asked, you know, I get into some churches over and over again, which is a great thing. That's an evangelist. He has a circuit. And I'm going to be in Canton, Ohio. And I've been in that church ever since 1975, just about every other year or so. You know what? Some of them old people, they're really getting old now. I was a kid when I started. It really old. Something's gone. They look at me and say, Brother Phil, you're still going. You're still doing it. I said, yeah, I'm still going. And I'm still doing it. You said, you don't jump around like you used to. I said, well, this knee hurts and that heel hurts, and you know, and I'm not complaining. I'm just simply saying it ain't about all that. I'm looking over there. I'm pressing toward the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. If you're saved and you're ministering, and I believe you are, then that's where your affection ought to be. Now, I understand we love the brethren, we love one another, we love our families, we love our church, we love our community, we love living here in rural Indiana. I understand all that. But you know what? There's something far greater that our eye of faith needs to be focused on, and that's glory. That's our Savior. Because the beacon that shines in a dark place is the light, all eternity. He said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, and when you get over there, you won't need no sun, you won't need no moon, you won't need any stars, you won't need any fluorescent light, because he's the light thereof, amen. Say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about some things over there that we can't see right now, but this book says they're there. You say, what are you saying? I'm just simply trying to encourage you. What's an evangelist do? Little fire going on up here. He gets him some gasoline, drags it in there, comes to all over, then throws a match and sets it back. I'm waiting, watching her go, boy. That's what he does. Well, you know, among other things. But it's a joy to see you working. It's a joy to see you doing something. Keep on doing it. You say, why? Because I think that's what would please God. And I'm just a mouthpiece and a spokesman. My time's just about up. And the lesson is geared to encourage you in ministry. So be faithful in the ministry. And that's my lesson. I know I'm about half preached and half taught it, but I wanted to get it to you this morning and encourage you. I'm going to ask Pastor Jerry if you'll come, brother.
Is that a blessing? Say amen. Amen. All right, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to us. You've been good to us, Lord, to send us this servant. And Lord, thank you that this is not just a message that he's preached with his lips, but he's preached it with his life. And I pray that you'd bless him and his dear wife, God. Bless them, Lord, as they get ready to head to the children's area. Help bless them as Brother Gabbard ministers out there and speaks to the young people. Tenderize their heart, Lord. Just give us a good day. And Lord, again, we're thankful. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.